The Andy Finn Show is back. And Mike, on this day, August 18th, in 1838, the first Marine expedition was launched. That was the beginning of the U.S. Marines.
It wasn't the beginning of the Marines, but it was their first expedition, I guess.
Well, what? Sure. What's the difference? I don't know what the difference is. We're going to just go with it. And we're going to talk now about Cindy Sheehan. So this thing, in just a matter of weeks, has morphed from a one-woman protest to this
circus,
media circus. Yeah, it's really a shame in many ways, because both the left and the right are using it for their ends, particularly the left. But let me recap here. So this woman, Cindy Sheehan, lost her son. He was killed in Iraq a year ago or so, in April of 2004. And she was against, I believe she was anti-war and anti-Bush at the time. And he joined up and got killed in Iraq. So she's been going across the country for the better part of a year with her message, which is that this war is wrong and should be stopped, and she wants answers from President Bush. Now, I don't think she really wants answers, and what I mean by that is this. What she says is, my son is dead, tell me why he had to die. Well, A, there is no good answer to that for a grieving mother. B, George W. Bush has laid out his case so that if he really were to go and talk to her and tell her why, he'd just be laying out the case again, and she would hate it, because it would be, well, I know the WMD weren't there, but he was a threat, and we believe the WMD was there, and it'd be all of it, and Saddam was abusing his own people, and freedom and democracy, and she doesn't want to hear that. She wants to give him a hard time. Now, he met with her once, and she's unhappy about the meeting. That is, she says now, although some people claim that at the time she was okay with it, she says now that he was not sufficiently respectful, that he didn't deal with people as individuals, didn't seem to know her son's name, all those things. Well, the President of the United States is pretty busy. I could believe that he doesn't necessarily know the name of every soldier when he goes to meet with a group of family.
Yeah, I mean, Bush may be a lot of things, but I think he genuinely does feel for the families that have lost soldiers over there. And I'm sure if you were to sit down with W, he could probably name quite a few.
I think he does. And what's interesting is the difference between conservative and liberal. See, I think if Bill Clinton was still president, he would genuinely feel it too. But conservatives wouldn't grant him that. And liberals can't grant George W. Bush that. Mm-hmm. I can remember back when the Oklahoma, it was about a year after Oklahoma bombing, somebody called in to G. Gordon Liddy. Of course, G. Gordon Liddy loathed Bill Clinton. And this was long before the Monica thing, so it wasn't tainted by that. But he loathed Bill Clinton and thought he was totally phony and a useless president. It hadn't done anything right. And the woman that called in said, well, I thought he did a nice job at the memorial service for the Oklahoma bombing victims. And I'm sure he did. I don't remember it specifically, but in the same way Reagan did a nice job with those kinds of things. You know, presidents do those ceremonial roles pretty well, and I'm sure he had a good speech and an uplifting speech and delivered it well. But G. Gordon Liddy kind of, he didn't do, you know. And he couldn't even grant that Clinton, he may have been wrong on policy, but that Clinton couldn't deliver a good talk at a moment like that. So conservatives can't grant a liberal or a Democrat that he can do anything right, and that's the problem with the liberals and the Democrats. They can't grant that a Republican or that George W. Bush could do this right. So Cindy Sheehan, in her anger and grief, there's nothing George W. Bush could do or say that would make her pain go away, certainly, but that would make her forgive him or respect him or whatever. So it's a no-win situation at one level. Now, she says that she wants a meeting with him, another meeting, because the last one was unsatisfactory. There's no evidence that he could please her in a second meeting.
Right, and she probably wouldn't expect him to. She probably just wants to be able to lay it on him again, you know?
That's right. In fact,
probably more for her
She said she wants answers, but in fact, she knows what the answers would be that Bush would give her, and she wouldn't be satisfied with him. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't necessarily mean that he shouldn't meet with her. So what's interesting here is the dilemma this puts Bush in. She started hanging out at the Crawford Ranch about 2 weeks ago when he started his vacation there, and says, I'm going to be here every day. And when he goes back to Washington, I'm going to be out in front of the White House every day. Now, she'll get even more attention in Washington. You think she's getting attention in Crawford? You camp out in D.C. every day? Oh, I hate to think what that'll be like.
Yeah.
Now, we should stop and say that this is August 18th, and just a few hours ago, Cindy Sheehan's mother had a stroke, and she left the encampment outside of Bush's ranch in Crawford, Texas, to go to her mother's side. But that doesn't end the protest, of course. This thing has morphed into hundreds of protesters there with her, some other families, but also MoveOn.org and other Democratic and liberal organizations have gotten behind this and are pushing this and using this for their own ends. And so the protest doesn't die just because her mother had a stroke and she has left. But that is the latest news about Cindy Sheehan. In any case, this is Bush's dilemma. This has morphed into a huge public relations problem. And so what I have said to you, and Mike, I said it on Saturday at our mini show on Fairfax Public Access, that, you know, there's a couple ways to look at this. One is that a president never gives in on this, because what you're doing then is you're allowing someone to set your schedule by being the squeaky wheel. And you'll have people camped outside the White House every week saying, I want a meeting with the president. If you give in once, they think you'll give in. So the general rule on this is you never, ever give in to someone and let them get a meeting just because they made your life difficult.
Yeah, but if this is the mother of a fallen soldier, she's in a very small category. So the other squeaky wheels, I can understand brushing them aside. But when you're the parent of a fallen soldier, you're kind of in an elite group. And I think they deserve an office with the president.
Well, I'm going to argue that side in a minute. But the other side would argue, look, there's not only 1,800 some soldiers have died. We've got 5,000 to 8,000 serious injuries. Right? Don't their parents deserve a, you know, in other words, where do you draw the line? This, there'd be no end to this. Is that's the argument why you do not do this. Now, the other side of it, I would argue, is, look, you wanted, first of all, there's a couple ways to look at this. One is she's truly grieving and Bush cares. And so he could meet with her to try and see if she could, if he could help her in any way. That is, get her to lessen her anger towards whatever it is. Now, there's the pure political calculation as well, which says, look, you want to defuse this public relations disaster however you can, and maybe a meeting helps defuse it. She said she wanted to meet with him for an hour or something. If he called her in, and frankly, the families of the other soldiers that are there, because there are other people who've lost soldiers that are there, you call those parents in, there are no cameras, you have a meeting with them for an hour. And you don't even talk, because there's no reasons you can give. You can't, it won't do any good to reiterate why we went in and all of that. You just listen. And you listen to them pour out their grief and tell you they think the war is wrong. And you just say, well, I understand your opinion. And you know, I'm not going to insult you by restating my reasons. You know how I feel about this. I'm just going to listen today. And they'll come out and say whatever they want. He was callous or he wasn't. He listened well or he didn't. He seemed arrogant or he didn't. Whatever they say, they're going to say. But the country would then see that George W. Bush took the time to have the meeting. And I don't think that can hurt him.
I don't either.
You also say this is a one-off. There's no way I'm meeting with other families, so nobody else try this. But I want to show the country that I understand that this is an issue that is rending the country apart right now. And I just feel bad for this woman, and I wish there was more I could do. You'd say whatever you have to say. I mean, whatever is appropriate to say. But then she has her hour, and the problem, the PR problem, should go away. Now, will they continue to protest? They might. But I think there's a lot less sympathy in the country. So I think as a PR gambit, purely from the point of view of Karl Rove, meeting with her helps. Now, that would have been if they'd met with her in the first week she came down there. Now it's morphed into such a problem, and the pressure is so great, I think they almost have to resist, because now if they cave, they look like, well, they're only doing it to do away with the problem. Mm-hmm. He no longer looks compassionate, I don't think.
No, you're right about that. I would agree with that.
Now, he could still do it and still get the problem to go away, and a certain percentage would think he's compassionate. But again, this country's split 50-50. Half the country thinks he's a jerk and made a mistake and he's heartless, and the other half thinks his face belongs on Mount Rushmore and he's winning the war on terror, and he's a good God-fearing Christian that has a heart of gold. So it's this, you know, this two-sided view of Bush that there's no middle ground with him. You either hate him or you love him. And I happen to be in the camp that hates him.
He hates a strong word.
No, I don't hate George W. Bush. Hate the sin, not the sinner.
Amen, brother.
And his sins are mostly against the English language, and I just hate the way he talks.
Yeah, but gosh, they're funny, aren't they?
Oh, they're hilarious. Always seeing the tunnel at the end of the light is one of my favorites. In any case, to continue with Cindy Sheehan, when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about how the left has used this, and frankly, how the right has used it, and how the right's in denial about some of it. We got a clip from El Rushbo. You will not believe it.
You remind me of someone.